This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been sitting here at my desk just waiting for the clock to strike so the program will begin and we can spend this time together. And today we're going to begin a brand new series, which is called You Are a Chosen Generation. What in the world does that mean? Well, you need to know what it means. And not only are you a chosen generation, but we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are a holy priesthood. And we're going to really dive into those terms this week. It's going to be illuminating, and it's really going to be encouraging. But please order the whole series. It's 5 parts. You're a chosen generation. It comes with a study guide. And when you read the study guide, you can get all this teaching down deep inside you while you're hearing or seeing the whole series. And we're also offering you the green volume, volume number 2 of the RIV, and it is 1st and 2nd Peter. And friends, it is loaded with treasures. It is just loaded. In fact, as I've been reviewing it to teach this series, I am amazed at what the Lord enabled me to compile in this book for you, and I really want you to have it. It is the Renner Interpretive Version, a parallel study Bible for people of faith. So if you're a person of faith, this is the study Bible you've been waiting for. It's a conceptual interpretation of the Greek New Testament with footnotes and commentary, 1st and 2nd Peter. I already put out James and Jude, but now you can get 1st and 2nd Peter. And today we're going to be studying from 1 Peter chapter 2 about the fact that we are a holy priesthood and we are a chosen generation. But reach for your Bible, and today we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 2. But as you turn there, I want to tell you that we want to pray for you. And if you've got any kind of a prayer need in your life, and you wish there was someone who could pray with you, well, here we are. Just call the number on the screen. And by the way, write it down. Save that number. Because when you feel like you're in a fix, and you just wish you had somebody to pray with you, there's the number. Call that number. That's us. And I promise you, friends, that we are trustworthy. And when we say that we will pray, we will really pray for you. And I also want to say thank you for being a partner. Partners, you're helping us make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. And I'm so grateful to God for you. And if you're not a partner yet, please go online or give us a call. Would you become a part of our partner family and help us take the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth? That is the call on our lives. But open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read to you from the King James Version, then we're going to dive into the RIV. And in the King James Version, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Well, in chapter 1, he talked about the fact that these believers were really going through hard times. But now when you come to chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings." These are things that can really hijack your spiritual life. And here we are commanded to lay them aside. Well, what does that mean? Well, listen to the RIV. The RIV says it like this. "In light of all of this, it is essential for you to be continually taking off, laying down, and pushing away from you so far out of reach that you'll never pick up again all destructive, evil, foul, vile actions and malignant, malicious thoughts that are harmful, hurtful, and injurious and that produce damage or ruin in your life or in others." Now, that is amazing. Just how in the world did you get all that out of the King James Version? Well, I didn't get it out of the King James Version. I got it out of the Greek text. And that's why I wrote the RIV. I want you to really see all the nuances, all the flavors that are in the text. But the reason it is translated, it is essential for you to be continually taking off, laying down, pushing away from you so far out of reach that you'll never pick up again is explained in footnote number 242, which says this is a form of the Greek word apotithemi, which means, now listen to this, to lay something down or to lay something down and push it beyond reach so it cannot be easily retrieved. It pictures a deliberate decision to make a permanent change of attitude and behavior. And it is exactly the same Greek word used to denote the removal of clothes that are no longer fitting or needed. And here, Peter uses this word to tell us we're to put off, push away, and never pick up again these foul ways of thinking. Now, it's interesting that this word is used to describe the putting off of a set of clothes, because your clothes don't come off of you by accident. At the end of the day, you decide to remove your clothes. It is a decision. It's not enough to recognize it's the end of the day and you don't need those clothes. They're not going to come off of you unless you get involved in removing them. And now we find that it's not enough to recognize you have bad attitudes. You have to get involved in removing them. And that is why the RIV translates it correctly. It is essential for you to be continually taking off, laying down, and pushing away from you so far out of reach that you'll never pick up again all destructive, evil, foul, vile actions and malignant, malicious thoughts that are harmful, hurtful, and injurious, and that produce damage or ruin in your life or in others. And that particular interpretation is explained in footnote 244, which says the words, destructive, evil, foul, vile actions, and malignant, malicious thoughts that are harmful, hurtful, and injurious, and that produce damage or ruin in your life or in others, are from a form of the Greek word kakia, a word that denotes that which is evil, destructive, foul, vile, and wicked, and portrays actions or thoughts that are harmful, hurtful, injurious, or actions that are done with evil intent that results in damage or ruin in one's life or in the life of another. It pictures ill will that is malicious and malignant. And my friends, these kinds of actions and attitudes and verbal abuse have no place in the life of a believer, but you're not going to get rid of them by just recognizing you do them and that it's wrong. You've got to make a decision to remove them. You've got to get involved. Just like taking your clothes off at the end of the day, you've got to push the button through the buttonhole or the shirt's not going to come off. And in the same way, you've got to repent and say, Lord, I'm not going to involve myself in this kind of behavior any longer. I am going to remove this. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to make this amazing change. But then it goes on to say, this includes, now here's the RIV, this includes all dishonesty, fraud, guile, and manipulative behaviors. If you find yourself being dishonest, if you find yourself being a little manipulative, there's no place for that in the life of a serious Christian. And this verse says these things are to be removed. And the reason that it is translated dishonesty, fraud, guile, and manipulative behaviors is explained in footnote number 246, which says the words dishonesty, fraud, guile, and manipulative behaviors are interpreted from a form of the word dolos, which means to use bait to entrap a fish or an animal, thus to ensnare or to hook. And it depicts exploitive behavior that is marked with craftiness, manipulation, or trickery. It is the root of dolios, which likewise depicts bait, being put on a hook to catch fish, and also carries the ideas of cheating, craftiness, cunning, dishonesty, fraud, or guile. Now stay with me, I want you to really hear this. Like a fisherman who carefully camouflages a hook with bait, this word similarly depicts those who use trickery to lure others to bite the bait being dangled before them. The idea portrayed is that once the hook is in the mouth, they pull the hook to ensnare victims into their web of deceit. And it must be noted that the word dolos, which carries the connotation of catching fish with exceptionally appealing and carefully worked bait, means the allure lies not only in the bait itself, but in the skill of the person manipulating the bait. Thus, Peter uses this term to tell us that there are those who manipulate others to bite the bait of what they are offering. Oh, this is just amazing. This word comes loaded with flattering words, and throughout human history, a nearly endless parade of manipulative people have placed flattery as bait on the hooks of deceit. All of that is in this word, but really describes manipulation or describes exploitive behavior. Now, you know, we're all made of flesh, and we tend to do things that we shouldn't do, but we've seen in this verse that we're to put aside destructive, evil, foul, vile actions, and malignant, malicious thoughts that are harmful, hurtful, and injurious, and that produce damage or ruin in your life or in others. And it includes, are you ready for this? Dishonesty, fraud, guile, and manipulative behaviors. My friends, we are not to be exploitive of others. That is just not what God wants us to do with our lives. And if you tend to do those things, if you tend to be a little manipulative, it's time for you to repent of it and put it away and put it away forever. And according to the RIV, you got to push it so far out of reach that you'll never be able to pick it up again. This is a decision to make a break with these behaviors. And the RIV goes on to say, and you must also forever put away pretending to be something other than what you are in order to win the applause or approval of others. Wow. That is explained in footnote number 247, which says, the words pretending to be something other than you are in order to win the applause or approval of others are interpreted from a form of the Greek word hypokrisis, the old word for a stage actor who donned a mask as he acted on stage. It speaks of that which is bogus, fake, phony, inauthentic, insincere, or an actor or pretender who projects an insincere image for the approval or applause of those that are watching. And here's what's totally amazing. Jesus used this same Greek word, hypokrisis, as I explained in this footnote. Are you ready for this? Over and over again throughout the Gospels when he described the religious leaders of his day as being hypocrites. This word hypokrisis is really the word for a hypocrite. And it was the equivalent of saying, here's what Jesus was literally saying to the hypocrites. You're like actors on a stage who will say and do anything for approval or for the applause of the crowd, but you are completely insincere and phony because it is nothing more than a mask you wear for those who are watching. That's what a hypocrite is. It's a phony person. It's a person that's just performing because of people that are watching. And the verse says we're to put it away forever. Put away pretending to be something other than what you are in order to win the applause or approval of others. This is more manipulation. It's more exploitive behavior. And my friends, there's no room for that in the life of a Christian. Then it goes on in the RIV and says, additionally, you must put away any feelings of envy because you resent that others got what you wanted or thought you deserved. Isn't the Bible amazing? And footnote 248 explains, the words feelings of envy because you resent the fact that others got what you wanted or you thought you deserved are interpreted form of the Greek word pathonos, which depicts ill will or jealousy. It additionally gives the sense of a hostile feeling one has towards someone else due to an advantage, benefit, or position that the other person has, or a deeply felt grudge due to what someone else possesses that the begrudging person wishes was his own. Thus, this word means to begrudge what another person possesses, to be covetous of another person's belongings, accomplishments, relationships, or titles in life, or to resent another person's advantage and to try to find a way to seize it or take it away from the person in order to make it your own. All of this has to do with exploitive and manipulative behavior. And my friends, over and over and over in this verse, we're told, put it away, put it away, put it away, which means God wants us to take action and eliminate these attitudes and these behaviors from our life. There is no room for a holy priesthood or a chosen generation to behave like this. But then the RIV continues in verse 1 to say, and along with all of this, as if he's not already told us enough to do, and along with all of this, put away belittling, crushing, degrading, demeaning, denigrating, depreciating, discourteous, disdainful, insulting, and rude forms of speech, which means in the life of a Christian, I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to me, I'm talking to everybody that's listening, there is no room for us ever to be belittling. We should never be crushing of others. We should never denigrate, demean, denigrate, depreciate, be discourteous, disdainful, insulting, and employ rude forms of speech. In fact, this verse says we are to put all of that away. We're to put it away. It is a decision. I'm not going to talk to people like this any longer. And the RIV continues to say, you must stop the business of talking down to others or speaking derogatorily to or about others, as this is a completely inappropriate and unwholesome manner of speech. I know that you agree with that, but it's not just enough to agree with it. We've got to take action. We have to eliminate this kind of speech from our lives. And footnote 250 explains it like this. The words belittling, crushing, degrading, demeaning, denigrating, depreciating, discourteous, disdainful, insulting, and rude forms of speech, you must stop the business of talking down to others or speaking derogatorily to or about others, as this is a completely inappropriate and unwholesome manner of speech. All of that is an expression that is interpreted from the Greek word katalalelia, which is a compound of the word kata, which means down, and the word laleo, which means to speak. But when you compound this word together, the new word depicts, listen to this, an intentional or even unintentional speaking down to others in a manner that is belittling, crushing, degrading, demeaning, denigrating, depreciating, discourtesy, disdainful, insulting, and rude. And thus, it is talking down to others or speaking derogatorily to or about someone, and is a type of unwholesome conversation that should be considered inappropriate, indecent, and unacceptable for a Christian who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So if you find yourself tempted to talk down to people, to denigrate people, my friends, there is no room for that in your mouth. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Holy Spirit does not denigrate people. He doesn't talk down to people. The Holy Spirit encourages people. He helps people. Even when He brings correction, He does it in a very encouraging way. And there's no room in your life, my friends. You are part of a holy priesthood. You are part of a chosen generation. And this is not the way that a holy priesthood and a chosen generation behaves. Wow, it is just amazing. So let's look at it again. The King James Version very simply says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. Well, that is wonderful. It's very easy to memorize because it's short. But the RIV carries all the flavor into the interpretation. And the whole RIV of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, in light of all of this, it is essential for you to be continually taking off, laying down, and pushing away from you, so far out of reach that you'll never pick up again all destructive, evil, foul, vile actions and malicious thoughts that are harmful and hurtful and injurious and that produce damage or ruin in your life or in others. This includes all dishonesty, fraud, guile, and manipulative behaviors. And you must also forever, the word forever, forever put off and put away pretending to be something than other what you are just in order to win the applause or the approval of others. Additionally, you must put away any feelings of envy because you resent what others got that they got what you wanted or thought you deserved. And along with all of this, put away all belittling, crushing, degrading, demeaning, denigrating, depreciating, discourteous, disdainful, insulting, and rude forms of speech. You must stop the business of talking down to others or speaking derogatorily to or about others, as this is a completely inappropriate and unwholesome manner of speech. That is amazing. All of that is verse 1. And that is all we have covered so far in today's program. But we're going to pick up here when we come back tomorrow in verse 2. And verse 2 is going to be so encouraging. But today, we have received a lot of instruction from the Holy Spirit about our actions, our speech, our behavior, and that we're to take off and remove those things that are manipulative and exploitive of others. My friends, there's just not any room for this in our lives. And so we've got to respond by repenting and saying, Lord, we're going to take that off and push that away so far away from us that we're never going to retrieve that kind of behavior again. Wow. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone asked the question, how do I overcome fear, anxiety, and worry? Wow, that's a great question. When I was a young man, I worried about everything all the time. But eventually, I just got tired of worrying and figured out that worrying doesn't help anything anyhow. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we are to cast our burdens on the Lord. And my friends, if you will just come right up alongside of Jesus and say, Lord, this is too heavy for me to carry by myself. I'm tired of worrying and fretting and being anxiety over this. And if you'll just heave and roll it over onto the shoulders of Jesus, He is standing right there waiting for you to transfer the weight from yourself over to Him. And He'll walk alongside with you. He'll carry the weight, He'll carry the burden, and you will walk freely. But in order for you to step into that state of freedom, you've got to heave and by faith, roll it over onto the shoulders of Jesus.
Are you struggling to break free from harmful habits? In Rick Renner's new 5-part series, You Are a Chosen Generation, discover how to push aside negative behaviors, embrace spiritual growth, and step into your true identity in Christ. This powerful study will equip you to live like someone truly chosen by God. Learn how to remove harmful attitudes and behaviors. Why craving God's Word leads to real spiritual growth. What it means to be a living stone in God's house. How God sees you as royalty. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this teaching will remind you that you are an important building block of the body of Christ. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Rick's book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, a parallel study Bible derived from the original Greek text. Order today. Don't miss this special offer. The bundle of the series, You Are a Chosen Generation, starting at just $11. And the book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, 25% off for a special introductory price of $28.50. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I am in the production fulfillment part of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and I just love to come here because I see what people are ordering. For example, here, someone has just ordered the 5-part series called How to Have Peace of Mind in Troubled Times. I know this person just became a partner because we're sending them our personal testimony, which is called Unlikely. We always send that to anyone who becomes a partner. And then a person here just ordered World Before the Flood. That's 15 parts, and this person just ordered Easter, the rest of the story. But I just love to come here and see all these teaching resources. My friends, we send them out by 10,000s every month and every year. It is just amazing, and it's a great honor that anyone would want our teaching. It's very humbling, and I'm very grateful that God is using our ministry and our teaching to strengthen lives around the world, and our partners are the ones helping us to do it.
We're told in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. And I know that is the assignment on my life. It's to take the trusted teaching of the Bible to people around the world. And right now, we're trying to pay off this facility so we can release more funds to taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. We've already paid off 78% of our ministry expansion project, but we'd like to finish it. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, today I want to ask you to join our giving team so we can pay off this facility and release all those funds into taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
Well, friends, today we have covered a lot of information, and all we've done is look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, but we're talking about the fact that we are a holy priesthood and we are a chosen generation, and that means our behavior needs to come up, and we have to put away those things that are just not acceptable for a holy priesthood and a chosen generation. And that's what we've been looking at today. But please order this series, which comes with a study guide. And remember that we're also offering you the RIV of 1 and 2 Peter. It is the Renner Interpretive Version. You can order all these things by going online or by simply giving us a call. And when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray, because we really want to pray for you. And if you would put your hand on your heart, because I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you have called us to be a holy priesthood and a chosen generation. We ask you to forgive us when our behavior and our words far fall below who you've really called us to be. And help us to make a decision to intentionally put away those actions and behaviors that are not worthy of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to pick up right here. It is really going to be good. We're going to dive into verse 2. But until then, remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.